Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around, please. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, but all done without any type of manipulation. Because we're not trying to hustle you. We're not going to seek money. We're not going to ask you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. We just like to ask you to listen up. Listen to me as I teach the Word of God and attempt to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if I can do that, you can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. It's your privilege. It's your life. You make your own decisions. You're responsible for every decision that you make. So here you go. God gave us two ends. Remember that. I always talk about this on the radio show. God gave you two ends. One end you think with, one end you sit with. And success in your life is going to depend on which one of those ends you use. Heads, you win. Tails, you lose. It's important that you think right. And that's why the Bible clearly tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Everything you do starts with a thought and becomes a motive and becomes a decision. And that's what the Lord can read. He knows what you're thinking. That's His omniscience. He's very much aware of what you're thinking. He's very much aware of every deed you do. So we want to learn how to think right, and that's what the Flatline is all about. A lot of people that might be listening for the first time might not understand what the Flatline is or what the Flatline stands for. It's simply a military analogy for the forward line of troops, F-L-O-T. What we're trying to teach is there are 10 unique problem-solving devices taught in the Word of God, and if you will learn them and use them, they will act like a main line of resistance in your soul. And what they will do is they will stop the outside sources of adversity from overrunning the thinking of your soul and becoming stress. That's what's so unique about the Christian life. You never have to have any stress whatsoever. Because stress is emotional override of the soul. It's you not thinking, it's you feeling. But there's a better way to live. And that's the Christian life, a wonderful way to live. But you have to learn it. And that's why we have these 10 unique problem-solving devices. And that's why we've just completed a book on that, by the way. The book is free. It's called Christian Problem Solving. We'd like to offer it to you today, free. Just write to us. Let us know you want the book. We'll ship it out as soon as possible. But it lists all 10 problem-solving devices that I'm reviewing for you. Last radio show, we reviewed Rebound. We reviewed the filling of the Holy Spirit. We reviewed the Faith Rest Drill. And we reviewed Grace Orientation. And today we'll continue reviewing the rest of those 10 problem-solving devices. The reason we do this is because the Bible clearly says we need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Christian life requires thinking. It requires you learning. It requires you growing. You have to learn how to execute the plan of God. Most people never think about the spiritual life being a unique life. Most people just think, well, I'm a Christian, and they never really consider that there's a spiritual life. There is a process that we have to go through as believers. I mean, we start out as young believers and we don't understand the process. We don't understand Rebound, how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't understand how to use the Faith Rest Drill. We don't understand Grace Orientation. These are things you have to learn. So when 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is not a request. This is a mandate in the original Greek language of the New Testament. Grow is a verb. It's a mandate. It's a command. And it's the word oxano, A-U-X-A-N-O, the Greek word. And it's what we call a imperative mood verb, which means it's a command. But here's the principle. No one ever grows spiritually by singing. You don't grow by sitting around in church singing praise songs about God. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not how you grow. You grow by learning God's word. And so 2 Timothy 2:15 tells you that. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Here's another verb, study, spoudazo in the Greek New Testament, spoudazo, S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O, spoudazo, and it again is an imperative mood verb. So we have one verb that says grow and one verb that says study. Every one of us must know and understand what the spiritual life is if we hope to glorify God to the maximum. If we hope for God to use us, we have to understand that a right thing has to be done in a right way. Unfortunately, many Christians don't understand this. And so they never really grow. I mean, they love the Lord. They understand that they're saved and they're going to heaven. But the Bible verse in Jeremiah 9 said, I'm looking for people that not only know me, but understand me. And that's what I'm trying to do on this radio show, is look for those of you that have a hunger to understand the God you know. Do you have a hunger to understand the God you know? Are you willing to apply the time that it takes to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do what Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me. Learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Study, grow, learn. You have to learn how to live the Christian life, how to execute the Christian life. That's what these 10 problem-solving devices are. It's in a nutshell. Here is the Christian life in a nutshell for you. We have it in bookmarks. We have it in a book. We have it any way you want it so you can remember it. But you have to learn these. You have to learn how to rebound and stay in fellowship and handle sin. You have to learn the filling of the Holy Spirit and how to let the Holy Spirit control your life and not your flesh. You have to learn how to live under the faith rest drill so emotions won't overtake you and you panic in the fear panic ploy. You have to learn what grace orientation is, that you're saved by grace, you live by grace, you die by grace, and there's surpassing grace in heaven. And then it's all connected to doctrinal orientation, biblical orientation. I'd like for you to become familiar with that term, doctrinal orientation. This refers to the sum total of the Word of God that you need to learn and put to use in your life. Without this, without Bible doctrine, you have no answers. You have no solutions. You have no motivation for your life. And that's why I said God instructs us to study in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Hebrews 5:11, the writer of Hebrews, whoever he was, said, look, I'd like to teach you some things, but you're not capable of learning them. You're still a baby. You're not ready for the steak. You still need a bottle. Read it. Hebrews 5:11-16. Now, where do you learn this stuff? How do you earn? Do you just pick up a Bible and start reading it? I run into people like that. They brag about having read the Bible through. There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible, but that's not the process. The process is a local church. The process is the pastor in the local church. He has a spiritual gift. And it's his job to study the Word of God, to dissect the Word of God, and to teach the Word of God to his congregation. Unfortunately, many pastors don't do this. Many pastors are not allowed to do this, and so they're forced to visit and counsel and do things that don't assist people in growing spiritually. You need to have the privacy of your priesthood when you go to church. You need to be able to learn God's Word. And listen, if you went to the first grade for an hour and a half a week, you'd never get out of the first grade. 30 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday night, 30 minutes on Wednesday night, that's an hour and a half a week. No wonder many Christians never get out of the first grade. They never take any time to study and learn and grow. So you say, well, I may go to church for an hour and a half, but I'll go home and read my Bible. That's not it. Sure, you can read your Bible. Sure, you can pick up things. But that's not the way the program is lined up in the Word of God. You must sit under the authority of a pastor who has the gift. A well-qualified pastor. He's called the shepherd, and we're called the sheep. And it's his job to see to it that we're fed and to see to it that we're protected. And we have to learn Bible doctrine. It's called metabolizing the Word of God. When you eat, you have to metabolize the food to convert it into energy. And so if a good pastor studies and teaches God's Word, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he helps you understand it. And he can't assist you if you're out of fellowship. If you're not using rebound, if you're not confessing your known sin, I don't care how many times you go to church, I don't care how good the pastor is, the Holy Spirit cannot do his job. You must be in fellowship when you sit under the authority of your pastor. You must not have unconfessed sin in your life, because you will not be able to convert what he taught into spiritual dynamics in your life. So if your pastor doesn't teach you the Word of God, I suggest you find one that will. Sometimes people have to seek outside assistance. And I can tell you there are many books, many tapes available for you if you choose to use them, and not for sale. Some people try to charge for all their stuff, but that's, I don't agree with that. I think if God freely gives it, we need to freely give it out. That's why we don't charge for anything on our show. We believe if God's in it, he will pay for it. Thus, we have bills like everybody else does, but we don't ask people for money. We wait on the Holy Spirit to motivate people to give, and that's the way it works. Some people sell their writings, and some people sell them in bookstores and all that stuff. But if you're going to grow spiritually, you've got to study God's Word every day under a well-qualified pastor. What you're trying to do is to learn to think like Christ thinks, and that's what it means, doctrinal orientation. You have to change the way you think. You have to acquire the mind of Christ. What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about that? The more the Bible you learn, the more divine viewpoints you gain, and you'll begin to see how God's Word relates to everything in your life, such as your parents, your marriage, your finances, your authority in your life, all of it. But there is one thing I want to point out for you. It's called retention. Those things you learn may not be retained because the rate of forgetting can exceed the rate of learning. It's possible that you can forget it quicker than you can learn it, so you have to do it on a daily basis. Therefore, it's good for a pastor to review so you can retain. Then there's nothing wrong with him giving a review of the message. Say, well, I might have heard that before. Well, maybe you need to hear it again because you can't retain it. You'll forget it. But doctrinal orientation is critical for any believer that wants to grow up. He has to retain the Word of God in his soul. He has to put it into a stream of consciousness. He has to be able to go to it and pull it out when he needs it and to use it in his life. He can't pull it out if he didn't learn it, and he can't learn it if he doesn't sit on someone teaching it. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's critical for you to have doctrinal orientation. Orient everything you say, everything you do, every decision you make has to be oriented to the Word of God. What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about business? What does the Bible say about nationalism or patriotism? What does the Bible say about this? It's all there. Now, that is another problem-solving device. So we have rebound, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the faith rest drill, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, and now we come to a personal sense of destiny. Personal sense of destiny. So on the basis of the promise of God, we wait. We wait for God to show us what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to think. And this is an unbelievable opportunity to realize, you know you're going to heaven. You know you have a destiny in heaven. But you might not know what your spiritual gift is. You might not know where God wants you to work, what God wants you to do. And you never will learn it if you're self-absorbed. If you're so involved with yourself that you become preoccupied with your own destiny and you forget about God's plan, if you're concentrating on yourself, that's dangerous because it leads to unrealistic self-expectations. You have to concentrate on God's Word and God's plan for you by learning and applying His Word every day. That's called divine viewpoint, and that'll free you from being worried or being absorbed with self. So any believer who's spiritually mature, any believer who has self-confidence based on God's Word, is going to know he has a personal sense of destiny. I never realized, for example, that I was going to be an evangelist. I had no clue. I never went to church as a youngster, even as a teenager. I never studied the Bible. I didn't even own a Bible. And yet here I have been in the ministry for 50-plus years now. I did not know what God's destiny was for me. I did not know I had the spiritual gift of evangelism. But it took a while as I studied the Bible and got under a well-qualified pastor to learn what the spiritual gifts were and to recognize and see my own gift, thus know what I was supposed to be doing with my life. So let me ask you that question. As a believer in Jesus Christ, do you know what you're supposed to be doing with your life? Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know how to use it in your local church? This is what I'm talking about. Having a personal sense of destiny is critical for you. That's the only way you can have any confidence in your life and what you're supposed to be doing. This is how you get direction. This is how you get motivation. Do you know why you're here? Don't get preoccupied with your personal problems. You'll lose sight of your destiny. I mean, if you have problems, rebound the problems. Confess the sins. Maintain your spiritual momentum. Keep going forward, and God will show you. There are a lot of ways to know what is the will of God. And there's a book that a friend of mine has written called Divine Guidance, and I can recommend that book to you. We'll be glad to send it to you if you write to us. A book on divine guidance, how God, the Holy Spirit, will show you where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing, even where you're supposed to live, what your gift is, and how it operates. That is a personal sense of destiny. Now let's move on to the next problem-solving device called personal love for God. The Bible commands us to love God, and that's no doubt about that. If you say you love me and hate your neighbor, you're a liar. The truth is not in you, the Bible says. Personal love for God is the greatest motivation any Christian can have. But how could you love somebody you don't even know? When the Bible tells you to love God, it implies you got to know Him. That's why all that Bible study that we talk about is necessary. The more you learn about God, the more you love God, the more you appreciate God, the more you adhere to God's plan, and the more you want to learn about God. If you want to test how much you love God, read 1 John 5:3. Here's what it says. If we love God, we'll obey Him, and His mandates are not, they're not hard. So obedience is linked to loving God. It's the greatest virtue you have. It's the greatest motivational virtue in your life. Personal love for God. God is perfect. He'll never deceive you. He'll never fail you. He'll never fall out of love with you. He will never let you down. And you can love Him with all your personal love, and He will always be worthy of that. Personal love for you to direct towards God is the highest Christian virtue you have. And it's what will motivate you to love others who often will fail you and let you down. But if you don't have personal love for God based on having an intense personal relationship with Him, then you'll have no spiritual motivation to love other people as well. Do you demonstrate your love for God? How? By keeping His word. Keeping His word. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother. There's a mandate in the Bible. If you're a young person, do you obey your parents? Do you honor your father and mother? Do you love God? Well, if you obey these verses, you might. This is where things get tough. Because it's only by means of personal love for God that you can have the motivational virtue to obey those sort of passages that I just quoted. This is why it's just a tremendous problem-solving device. If you will stay in fellowship, if you will learn God's Word, if you will come to understand the God you already know, then you can develop this intense personal love for God that I'm talking about. It's an amazing thing. It doesn't mean you walk around with your head in the stars all day long singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But it means that you have honor and obedience to His plan, and that God's able to depend on you. Now, another personal problem-solving device is impersonal love for all people. Personal love for God, impersonal love for others. Impersonal love for all. When you love someone, be it a parent, even a friend, even a mate, you'll find that that person is imperfect and often can let you down. They make mistakes. We're human. We have sin natures. So even the best of us fail, you should, sometimes every day. But love, this is an interesting thing about God's love. It's not designed to work only when we're on good terms with somebody. I mean, think about the worst person in your block. Did you realize God said you got to love that person? We call them a W-O-J, a weird, obnoxious jerk. And you're supposed to love them? This is the thing that makes the Christian life so unique, that we can actually love our enemies. That doesn't mean we would not fight to defend our home or not fight to defend our family, but it does teach us that we must follow Christ's example of loving all men. The problem comes when you try to love people with personal love, because they'll let you down and you'll get angry. And that's the wrong thing to do. You let your emotions take control. You get preoccupied with your problems and you're out of fellowship with God. You're sinning with anger, bitterness, vindictiveness. So the thing to do is switch loves. Go from personal love to impersonal love. Now you can love anybody based on one simple principle. Your love for him is not based on his or her actions or performance, but rather based on your own personal integrity. Personal love for God. That's where it comes from. In other words, nothing in the person that you're told to love is worth loving. But the motivation to love that person is not based on what he is or who he is or what he's done or hadn't done. It's rather based on your life and your personal love for God. You can love him based on who you are, not who he is. Is this not what God did for you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved you. Were you a jerk? Yes. Did God give his son for you? Yes. That's impersonal love. He wasn't loving you based on your character. He was loving you based on his character. And when you believe in Christ, you can do the same thing. When you receive the Holy Spirit and grow in grace and knowledge, you can use impersonal love to love people that are not worth loving, just like God loved you when you were not worth loving. So it's not based on who they are, it's based on who you are. God did this for you in John 3:16. The world was full of sin. We know God doesn't love sin, but how did he do this? He loved us based on his integrity, his virtue, his honor. He loved us. And we can use that same sort of impersonal love to deal with people that are unloving towards us. So personal love for God motivates us to have impersonal love for others. And these two loves can solve all your people problems if you'll let them. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have a flat line in your soul, if you have a main line of resistance and you have impersonal love for all, then people will not make you bitter. People will not, and circumstances will not get you disillusioned, because you know better than to try to use personal love for a person that's not worth loving. Okay? Now, what about sharing the happiness of God? That's another problem-solving device. It's called Plus H, sharing the happiness of God. The Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples, I've said these things to you so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. Joy is a wonderful peace of mind that the Holy Spirit gives to you. Happiness is being impressed with the details and the circumstances, but joy is that even though the details and the circumstances are hard and not there, you can still have this amazing peace in your life. Sharing God's happiness, that's a wonderful problem-solving device for a mature believer like yourself, and it's always directed towards self. It guarantees you that you never, ever, ever have to be unhappy. Notice the word, I taught you these things, John 15:11, so that my happiness or my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. Taught you. Plus H belongs to those who hear God's word and keep it. Listen to 11 let me back that up just a minute. I want to try to say this correctly, get my head straight around. Luke 11:27-28. Now listen carefully. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Hear and keep. That's the source to happiness. So you can't have this plus H if you're not learning God's word and applying God's word. Hearing and keeping. Learning, L-A-G, lag. Learn it, apply it, and glorify God as a result of it. Learn it, apply it, and glorify God as a result of it. It's all important for you. The Old Testament in Proverbs speaks about this sort of happiness, how it's acquired. It says this in Proverbs 3:13, happiness belongs to the person who finds wisdom, even to the person who gains understanding. This is the source of happiness, the wisdom of God. That's the greatest treasure you could ever possess. Paul said it this way, I'm going to give you a treasure, a word treasure, and that's the wisdom of God. What is wisdom? It's understanding. It's insight. It's discernment. When you have insight and discernment based on your understanding of the details of life and the circumstances of life, then you have God's wisdom and you're able to operate freely and independently in the devil's world and not be sidetracked. So happiness belongs to those who find wisdom, even to those who gain understanding. It's critical. Plus H, sharing the happiness of God. And it belongs only to the Christians who fulfill those requirements to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only thing that could bring Christ happiness in the middle of life, in the middle of his crucifixion, the middle of what he experienced, was to know that he was fulfilling God's wonderful plan for his life. As long as he was doing that plan, he was happy. So this is for you, too. You may have to go through some sort of undeserved suffering, but you can have the same sort of plus H happiness that Jesus had if you'll stay in fellowship and use a faith rest drill. But if you get bitter, if you get full of self-pity, then you move into the arrogant sins and become preoccupied with your own problems, and you'll lose your plus H. So remember this, plus H is tranquility of soul, is contentment in life, is capacity for life, is stimulation, enthusiasm in life. It means you have the ability to motivate yourself from within. You won't have to sit around waiting on someone else to come along and make you happy. You can take the initiative and provide for your own stimulation and your own enjoyment. The final problem-solving device is occupation with Christ. Again, I remind you, order the book. It just came out. All of this is explained in detail in the book, How to Have a Flatline in Your Soul. Very few people love the way they want to be loved and treated the way they want to be treated. This comes from some sort of unrealistic expectation a lot of times, but without the Word of God, without these problem-solving devices, it's inevitable that this will result in terrible frustration and instability in your life. Being occupied with Christ solves this problem. It sets our priorities aside, and we're occupied with Christ. There's so much I need to say about it. I really don't have enough time to deal with occupation with Christ right now, but remember this. He's our role model. He's our best friend. And once we learn to think like He thinks, once we accrue the mind of Christ, then we begin to replicate His life and represent Him to our friends. That's occupation with Christ. It's all in that book, all free for you. If you'll order it, study it, sit down with your Bible, go over it, you will appreciate it, I promise you. We'll include the bookmark that lists all these as well. Rebound, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the faith rest drill, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, personal sense of destiny, personal love for God, impersonal love for all, sharing the happiness of God, and occupation with Christ. All taught to me by my pastor, and I'm passing it on to you so you can learn it as well. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. I hope you're applying. Until next week, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flat.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. It'll be a short time of motivation, inspiration, education, and of course we do it without any manipulation. You might notice we don't try to sell anything. We're not trying to raise support. We're not asking you to give money. We're just asking you to listen. Listen as I try to disseminate God's plan for your life so that you can understand it. I've told you before, God gave you two ends. One of those ends you sit with and one of those ends you think with. And success in your life is going to be depend on which one of those ends you use. So as they say in the world, it's heads you win and tails you lose. You have a brain, you're able to think, you're able to comprehend. And my prayer is that you'll listen to what I'm saying today, that it will make an impact in your life. And you'll be able to respond and orient and adjust to the plan of God in your life. Many years ago, there was a song that came out called The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. I don't know if you remember that or not. It was a Southern Gothic song about the murder of a fella and pinned it on a guy named Brother. And his sister is the one that did the killing, but he went to jail for it. Reba McEntire re-recorded the song, made it number one on the charts. But the famous words are, don't trust your soul to no backwoods Southern lawyer. And one of the questions I want to ask you today, if you think about this, have the lights gone out in America? Have the lights gone out in America? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said in Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world, speaking to his disciples, not just the 12, but to the ones that were following with him. The ones that were there assembled as he just got through with the Beatitudes and now he's into the similitudes. And he tells them they're the light of the world. He goes on to use an analogy saying that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. In other words, the lights are there. People will see it. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, is the light out in America? This passage in the Similitudes is similar to the Beatitudes given to the followers to demonstrate the impact they would have on the world. The light shines, illuminates, gives perspective and direction. But unfortunately, not all Christians have their lights turned on. It's like people driving at night with no lights. That light might be hidden under a bushel, the Lord Jesus Christ says. And if you're out of fellowship, if you have unconfessed sin in your life, if you're living into reversionism, your light does not attract anyone. Your light is not shining. And here's the unfortunate thing. Chaos loves darkness. Chaos does not like to be exposed to the light because light illuminates the deception. And what we have today is cosmic chaos in good old U.S. of A. What's the cosmic system? You hear me use that word, cosmic chaos. What is the cosmic system? Well, it's a system that Satan thrives in. It's an environment of confusion known as darkness, and it promotes his agenda both individually and nationally. So let me give you a few points on what the cosmic system actually is before we go too much further. The cosmic system is Satan's strategy as ruler of this world to control believers and unbelievers alike. It's his policy for the rulership of this world. It's called in the Bible evil. The cosmic system of Satan is actually a college, an educational system, a classroom for the indoctrination and the inculcation of Satan's philosophy. And I see it like the tentacles of an octopus that extend out and grab all areas such as politics, religion, education, military, family. This cosmic indoctrination is called human viewpoint thinking. And it's quite attractive to the uninformed and the disadvantaged ones because humanism, socialism, communism are all schools in this evil college designed to educate and promote antagonism towards anything related to God, especially to the grace of God. So in order for Satan to rule this planet, he must educate and he must establish his authority by promoting two factors. Both the cosmic system and the Christian way of living must be learned to function. You know that. You've heard me talk about that. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, the cosmic system has to be learned also. And many people learn it in the classroom of Satan. It's an indoctrination. They have to learn it. Sometimes they learn it through politics. Sometimes they learn it in religion. Sometimes in education. But it's there. So, self-centered thinking related to arrogance, and therefore divorce from reality of God's plan. This is what Satan must do. He must promote self-centered thinking relating to arrogance, which is self-justification, and being divorced from the reality of God's plan, and that's exactly what Satan seeks to do. He also seeks to promote antagonism towards the Word of God. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, they had a national day of repentance after the temple and the walls were rebuilt. And this is what Nehemiah said. They had come out of the Babylonian captivity and they had come back and rebuilt their walls and rebuilt their city. And Nehemiah said, they, our fathers, acted arrogantly because they became stubborn and they would not listen to your mandates. They refused to listen and they did not remember your wondrous deeds which you performed among them. Nehemiah 9:11-15 talks about the wondrous deeds, all the things that God did while they wandered in the wilderness. They divided the Red Sea, let them cross so Pharaoh couldn't kill them. He led them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day over the tabernacle. He gave them bread and water to eat and sustain them, and he gave the law at Mount Sinai. And here's something interesting. In verse 21 of Nehemiah 9, it says, their clothes never wore out and their feet did not swell. Isn't that interesting? One reason America is operating under the cosmic chaos that I'm speaking about is because the wisdom of God's word has been silenced in the public arena. This deafening silence, crickets, you know, like, listen carefully about God being taught in a school. Crickets, don't hear anything, do you? These crickets guarantee confusion and destruction of a client nation, such as good old U.S. of A., because we've forgotten God's grace through two world wars and many national tragedies. But all we do is we kind of look at the gifts and forget who the giver was. Could this be why this nation seemed to be completely upside down, with what I call bottom dwellers calling the shots in our current state of affairs? Chaos in the streets, chaos in the home. We cannot survive this much longer without a complete internal meltdown in this client nation. In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is like a lady. Wisdom speaks as a person to tell what will happen if we neglect God's warning. Listen to Proverbs 1:24 through 33. And this is the lady called Wisdom speaking. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid any attention, and you neglected all of my counsel and you did not want any of my reproof. So I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your dread comes. When your dread comes in like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call on me, but I won't answer you. Then they will seek me, if they won't find me, because they hated knowledge. In other words, they enjoyed the cosmic system knowledge. That's what they wanted. They wanted Satan's cosmic system. They didn't want the knowledge of the Word of God. You did not choose to respect the Lord, and you would not accept my counsel. You spurned all of my reproof. So, for that reason, you will eat of the fruit of your own way and be satiated with your own devices. And then listen to this warning in verse 32. For the waywardness of the stupid will kill them, and the complacency of a fool will destroy him. But the one who listens to me shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. What an appropriate warning for Client Nation USA today. When God's word is rejected and neglected, chaos rules, and the day and darkness cover the land. Chaos rules the day, and darkness covers the land. So those of us like yourself and myself, anyone who's acquired any biblical wisdom and says anything, we've been demonized and marginalized by the cosmic thinkers who choose to reject establishment principles, who choose to reject divine viewpoint thinking. Here's one, for example, the Freedom From Religious Foundation is an American nonprofit organization which advocates for atheists, agnostics, non-theists. It was formed in 1976 and promoted the separation of church and state and challenges the legitimacy of many federal and state programs that are faith-based. It supports groups such as non-religious students and clergy who want to leave their faith. And it's real. And they enter lawsuits every day against God. Public evangelism is all but shut down in the public arena, and more crickets you can hear. Thus, generations of young people never hear Bible instruction, never hear anything that's alternative to the lifestyle promoted on social media. Thus, they only have one thing to turn to. They only have the cosmic rationale to determine what's right and what's wrong. How can they know if they haven't heard? And how can they hear unless someone goes to tell? And how can someone tell unless they're allowed to speak? Suppose that I lead a student to Christ in a private school, or even in a public school. His conversion, what is that going to hurt? He accepts Christ. He has eternal life. He has a change of lifestyle. Now he's no longer a bully. Now he's no longer arrogant. Now he's an honor roll student. Now he begins to quit his lying, begins to quit his drug use, begins to quit his immorality. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with leading people to Christ and seeing such a wonderful lifestyle change? I was in a school many years ago where there was a student who was just the most obnoxious student in the world. I mean, they wanted to get rid of him. They hated him. Puked up at a senior prom, took a swing at a police officer, cussed out the headmaster. I was able to lead that young man to Christ in a personal encounter. And I didn't see him for several months after I left, but I got a letter from him. About 6 months later, I got a letter from him, and he said, "Do you remember me? I'm McKay, and I'm at Parris Island in the Marine Corps boot camp." 6 months later, which is up to a year now, I came back to that school to speak again. It was the same time that that young man got out, graduated from boot camp, and came back home and visited the school in his uniform, and he was entirely different. His friends didn't recognize him. He had accepted Christ. He had grown in God's Word. He'd become establishment-oriented. What's wrong with that? Why do we not want anyone to have an opportunity like that? I fear satanic opposition is cloaked in political decisions made for less than 10% of our population. Chaos in America comes from the lack of biblical instruction. The biblical instruction that offers forgiveness and a new life in Christ. And satanic recruitment still goes on, while any mention of God's grace in Christ is shut down. Crickets, nothing heard. Chaos is here, my friend. It's here in America, and I've got news for you. Much worse is coming. This lack of biblical wisdom in positions of leadership, such as parents or politician, leaves only one source of guidance, cosmic thinking. Think about it this way. Where do you form what's true and not true? Either from the Bible or from God's Word or from the cosmic system, which is Satan's college of indoctrination. What choice do they have? They only get one way to hear it. They can hear it from social media all day long, what's right and what's wrong, but not from the Bible. We don't want them hearing from the Bible. Oh, no, don't let them hear that. Why? Because Satan's in control. We are governed by many fools in leadership positions that have no idea of what the divine institutions are. And these fools seek to lead and lead us discernment based on their own flawed views of humanism and socialism. It's called cosmic thinking, human viewpoint. Imagine a tornado swirling around in your mind. It's called a cosmic vortex. And imagine it pulling people into it and spinning them off and throwing them across the country, throwing them across the field. This is what happens when people get into the cosmic system. They get swallowed up in the cosmic vortex and their lives get displaced. This is why if we continue on the track we're on, we will not survive as a free nation much longer. Not much longer, I promise you. So why can I say that? Proverbs 12:15 tells you, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. That's arrogance. That's cosmic blindness from arrogant self-image. The arrogant person has an unrealistic self-image. He has unrealistic expectations. He justifies why he's right and the rest of the world is wrong. Can you imagine someone saying, God is wrong, I'm right, I'm smarter than God, I know what's best? Can you imagine politicians that won't even seek to pray and look for answers in God's Word about what we should do in our nation today? There are at least several different ways in which the cosmic system influences people, especially unbelievers. Here's one that's kind of frightening. It's called demon possession. Not for believers, oh no, but for unbelievers, yes. It's defined as a demon invasion of the body of an unbeliever by one or even more demons. You can see it in the Bible. It's there. Because of the indwelling of the members of the Godhead, no demon can indwell you or me or any believer at all. But this demon possession cannot occur without the unbeliever's consent. Even the unbeliever, the person who's rejected Christ, the disadvantaged one, he has at least his volition to protect him. But under certain conditions, demons do enter the body of unbelievers. Then we have demon influence, and this is where Christians can get influenced and come under demon invasion of thinking by falling under cosmic influence. The number one two is organized religion, cosmic influence. And then the influence of the cosmic system itself. In John 2:15-16, the Word of God strictly says, stop loving the world. Stop loving the cosmos or anything related to the cosmos. This is a very radical mindset. It's a very narrow approach to life. Because happiness is not found in the details of life. It's not found in circumstances. It's not found in people. Getting involved in the cosmic system leads to living in the darkness and being out of fellowship, which we call temporal death if you're a Christian. No humility, no reception, no retention of the Word of God. That's what happens when you're in the cosmic system. The cosmic lie is seen in Jeremiah 7:8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Social media is full of this today. You can achieve your dreams. That's a cosmic misleading. That's all you hear people talk about. Dream your dream, kid. Dream your dream, and you can live your dream. You can achieve your dreams. Listen, God's plan for you is so much greater than what you could dream or even come up with in your mind. You cannot even believe what God would do for you if you would learn His Word and apply it into your life. Greater than any dream you ever believed in. Because happiness is not found in people. Happiness is not found in circumstances. Jesus Christ said happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. But negative volition, saying no to Bible instruction, being distractions from the details of life, that winds up luring believers, even Christians, into cosmic thinking. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're chasing the details of life, you're thinking that your happiness is based on how much money you make or who you marry or where you live, or you have no desire to learn, study, and apply God's Word into your life. Oh, yes, you have a Bible. I didn't say you didn't. And occasionally you go to church. Okay, that's great, but you don't hear anything because you're thinking about where you're going for lunch. You certainly don't apply it if you did hear it. And so you live under the cosmic lie. Any inventory of the Word of God has been forgotten, and you have now allowed yourself to be a tool of Satan to influence other people. And I can assure you, Satan gets a big laugh out of you and your Christian life. Our Lord warned His disciples about the influence of this cosmic thinking in John 16:1-4. Here's what He said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that you may be kept from stumbling." What's He talking about when He said, "these things"? Well, in John 15:18, He said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that they hated me first. And if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own," the cosmic system. "As it is," the Lord said, "you do not belong to the world, but I chose you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you." Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. "And if they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. And if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours as well. But they will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one that sent me." Our Lord knew the intense pressure these disciples were going to face once He departed. And these words of warning were to prepare them for the attack of the cosmic system. And what was coming? The cosmic system is not your friend. Make no mistake about it. You face the same opposition from the cosmic designer. Thus, you have been warned in the Bible in Ephesians 6:11-17 to suit up. Put on the armor of God so you can stand against the strategy of Satan. The devil knows you and he has a strategy to defeat you. He's able to discredit you. He's able to discern what is your weaknesses. If you don't suit up, if you don't learn that armor of God, we've taught on that on this radio show. If you haven't heard it, let me know and we'll send you the series on the armor of God. But you must suit up, because it's through distractions and discouragement from the cosmic system that you could be neutralized as a representative of the Lord. Unfortunately, maybe you already have. Cosmic chaos you face in the coming years is designed to intimidate you. Designed to humiliate you until you fall victim to the arena of contention, until you're set aside as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the Lord said the cosmic system is going to hate you, and that's intimidation to quieten you and your impact for Christ. Have you been intimidated because you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been quietened because of your faith? You're not here to go out and preach to people and tell them, "straighten up, fly right, or you're going to hell because you smoke, because you drink, because you did this, because you did that." You're here as a light to be attractive to the unbeliever, to let the unbeliever see what your life is like, a life of contentment, a life of love, a life of prosperity, a life of hope, a life of forgiveness, and to be attracted to that. Bugs are attracted to light. Whenever I'm on my back porch with the light on, bugs come from everywhere. And if you are the light the Lord is speaking of, you will be attractive to individuals that are lost. But the Bible said they were going to be outcast. The Bible said those disciples would be persecuted. In John 16:2, He told them they're going to be cast out. In John 16:2, he told them the world would seek to eliminate them by death, and that's the religious crowd he's speaking about. Notice he predicted it would happen, and they were to remember that he forewarned them. He did not tell them these things earlier because he was still with them in John 16:4, so he didn't tell them that yet. But nothing's changed today, except the deceiver, a.k.a. the devil, has more tools to use against you. Social media, mass entertainment, 24/7 communication, etc., etc., etc. Even that cell phone you have in your back pocket, in your purse, is a tool to educate you in the way of thinking of the cosmic system. Satan has a target-rich environment today. Millions of individuals in this country are completely oblivious to God's grace of forgiveness because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. They're oblivious to the whole thing. Not only are they being withheld information on forgiveness of sin, but they're completely unaware of the unique spiritual life available to them through the filling of the Holy Spirit and by means of the dynamics of the Word of God available to them. So it's sad to see. It's sad to see desperate people seeking happiness, doing despicable things that only bring death and destruction in the most unpleasant way. And all the while the enemy laughs. He laughs at it and abuses those who have no resources for a life of contentment and a life of capacity for love. It's a shame. It really is. It's a shame. What's the solution for these misguided souls in these times of confusion and chaos? This is where you and I come in. See, we are God's ambassadors with His message of love and forgiveness, and there will be a price to be paid for that. If you carry that message forth, it's going to cost you. Matthew 9, and Jesus went about in all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Some plant seeds, some harvest the seeds. But in this chaotic climate of our current days of chaos and conflict, you are the individual tasked with this job. Therefore, Matthew 10 says, freely you've received, freely you must give." Notice the Lord Jesus Christ went to them before they ever came to him because he was moved with compassion. It was empathy towards those that were deceived, deserted by organized religion, and he was moved in his soul due to their lost condition. They were deceived by organized religion and distraught over circumstances in life, and they were faint, the Bible said. They were weary, the Bible says, scattered abroad like sheep without a shepherd, no direction in their life, and in danger of being captured or even destroyed. Our Lord considered these as worth saving. They were His people who had no hope, and some that no doubt had been cast out of the local synagogues due to sinful acts. But there is nothing worse than a soul in torment with no one to help them, no one to guide them, no one to give them direction or answers. And that's where you come in the picture. I hope you're listening. You must be the light. You must be the person who stands up and represents Christ to your community. You must understand this is a cosmic system, chaos going on. There's a war going on. And Satan is seeking to win it by educating his followers. And anyone who doesn't understand the will of God, the Word of God, they get sucked into the cosmic vortex on a daily basis. There's so much I can offer you, so much information I can give you. If you want to learn it, write to us. We have a new book out on Christian problem solving. It's free. We have other books that are available, but you have to learn. You have to come to understand how God's plan works, what the process is. Please get in touch with us. Let us give you that information and encourage you in your walk for Christ. We'll come back next week, same time, same place, same station. We would appreciate your prayers for us as we step out on faith to bring these shows to you. I appreciate you listening, and I thank you for your time. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. or online at www.rickhughes.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.